John Wicks of the Records, and you're listening to 90.7 FM WGXC Accra.
Friday, November 11th, tune in or turn out to the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. Performances from Skyfurrows, Belay, and Doubles. Skyfurrows is fronted by poet Karen Schomer from Columbia County. The rest of the band hails from Albany. Belay is Wednesday Knudsen and Clark Griffin of Pigeons, who hail from Austerlitz. And then the band Doubles is from Kingston. So a triple Hudson Valley bill Friday, November 11th at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. WGXC will have a live web stream at WGXC.org. Click on the listen button and scroll down to find the extra web stream. From 8 to 11 p.m., Friday, November 11th, turn out to the Avalon Lounge in Catskill to see and hear Skyfurrows, Belay, and Doubles, or tune in at WGXC.org.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by SunCommon, supporting vibrant communities across New York for 15 years, offering custom solar installations for homes, farms, and businesses. Information at suncommon.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of the Bridge Street Theater in Catskill, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
My people, what can I say? Say what I can. I saw it, but I didn't believe it. I didn't believe it what I saw. Are we gonna live together? Together, are we gonna live? This is your Mr. Senior Love Daddy talking to you from We Love Radio 108 FM on your dial. And that's the triple truth, Ruth. Today's weather, hot! Wake up!
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson, listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Amelia. I'm 20, and I'm also from Hudson. I'm Georgia. I'm 11, and I'm also from Hudson.
And we're here every week talking about books. Books we love.
Books we hate.
And bookish.
And bookish things. And that's what we're going to do today. Sorry.
Before we talk about books, we are through the Tower Power Pledge Drive, but we want to thank everybody that showed support for WGXC during the Pledge Drive and became a sustaining donor or made a donation or otherwise supported the Pledge Drive, because we love WGXC and we want to stay on the air.
How many sustained supporters did we get?
I don't know how many sustaining supporters in total, but I know we did not quite, but we're very close. So there's still time for people. I mean, people can sign up as sustaining supporters anytime. They don't have to wait until a pledge drive. They could go on today and become a sustaining supporter. And I don't know if this includes my increase, because I decided I'm going to increase my sustaining support because I love WGXC. It's been a huge, important part of my life since 2011, 10 maybe. You know, I started doing work with WGXC in 2010, but it was 2011 when the radio show launched. And the radio station launched. So it's been an important part of my life since then. And I value it so much that I'm upping my monthly contribution.
Also, you know what's very interesting?
Yes.
I did not know this until a few months ago, but actually, apparently, my dad would listen to WGXC every day when I was in preschool and on. Even before I was on the show, it's so funny.
When you're a little teeny tiny baby. For some reason, I'm having trouble finding the email that says exactly how close we got. But if you look at the thermostat, if you find that thermostat online somewhere, you'll see that we're really close to reaching our monthly goal. So I hope listeners will join as sustaining supporters and help WGXC meet their fundraising needs and stay on the air. And then before we dive into books, I just want to ask everyone how their Halloween was. I know you all are big Halloween fans. Get really into it. Did you have a good time?
It was awesome, yeah.
It was great. I went trick-or-treating with my best friend and I got a lot of candy. Well, less than I usually get, but I usually get way too much. So I got a really good amount this year. And my best friend and I, before we went trick-or-treating, we ate fried chicken, watermelon, pizza, and sushi for dinner. And Zoe and I both had a rough day and we were both so tired that we only went to like 8 houses, but we still got a lot of candy because these houses, we would like go up to them and there's one house where like they literally threw like 4 pieces of candy at each of us. And there's one house where literally they said, take as much as one hand can hold. So we had to like do that and like get so much out. We had to like take a fistful and get it all out. It was really fun.
We ordered pizza while we were giving out candy and we gave a handful
of candy. It was a pizza kind of Halloween.
Yeah. We gave a handful of candy to the pizza guy.
Oh, that's nice.
We had a little skeleton prop set up in a chair next to our house that the pizza guy tried to give the candy to first because it was dark before he realized it wasn't a real person and said he was there. It was really funny. But yeah, it was a good Halloween.
Halloween was not that eventful for me, but we had the Ghostly Gallop that weekend, the day before Halloween. And that was so much fun. There were so many people that came out. Such a fun event. Yeah, it was just great. The last two races were virtual and it's just not the same, obviously. So it was great to be in person again and get to see so many people having a good time. And it was such a beautiful day. The weather was great. It was just perfect for the race. So thank you to everyone that came out for that.
I saw the Ghostly Gallop happening when me and my dad and my mom were all driving to get like last minute pumpkins to carve. The ones we got were too small.
Yeah.
We ended up losing a pumpkin because it rotted really fast for some reason. One of them rotted faster than the others. So we put it outside as like a kind of offering for this squirrel that lives by our tree so that the squirrel would not eat the pumpkins we carved. The squirrel has not taken its offering yet. I haven't actually seen the squirrel in several days, so I'm not sure where it is.
The squirrel is so offended by the rotten pumpkin. It's like, I'm out of here. They don't get to see me for a while.
That's fine by me. That thing, it's gotten so fat on seeds from our bird feeder that are meant for the birds. So, yeah.
Well, moving on to books. Anyone have a book they wanted to talk about this week or a bookish thing? Nope. Oh, I guess the show's over. Bye.
No.
Just kidding.
Asher. So the book that I'm going to talk about today, this is a graphic novel memoir of the ballerina. Oh my gosh. The sticker is covering your name.
I hate it when libraries do that. My school library was like notorious for putting stickers over the descriptions.
Yes. Ah, found it. Okay, so this book is called To Dance, and it's a graphic novel memoir by Sienna Cherson Siegel, and the artwork is by Mark Siegel. And this book was really good. It's a shorter graphic novel. It's shorter, definitely not as long as most. The artwork is beautiful. It's done in these beautiful watercolors, and the writing is great, and I think all ages would enjoy this, like younger kids, older kids, adults. I think anyone could enjoy this. It's really good. And it's about the dancer, Sienna. It's about her career and her moving from Puerto Rico to the US and going to ballet school, SAB. And it's amazing. And it says it's ages 8 to 14, but any age could enjoy this, in my opinion. So I'm going to read the description. Dancers are young when they first dream of dance. Sienna was 6, and her dreams kept skipping and leaping, circling and spinning, from airy runs along a beach near her home in Puerto Rico to dance class in Boston to her debut performance on stage with the New York City Ballet. To Dance tells and shows the fullness of her dreams and the rhapsodic life they led to. Part family history, part backstage drama, here is an original first-hand book about young dancers' beginnings and beyond. So that was To Dance, a ballerina's graphic novel by Sienna Cherson Siegel.
I forget if and how she's related to Mark Siegel.
Probably married.
Could be. I read that one a long time ago. I don't remember it that well, but I remember liking it. Mark Siegel is, in addition to being an artist and a graphic novel writer and illustrator, he's also the founder and creative and editorial director, I believe, of First Second Books, which is a really great publisher of graphic novels. And the book that I wanted to share is actually from that publisher.
I did not know that. That's really cool.
Yeah, they have a lot of great books. I kind of look to them for a lot of good middle grade, especially picks. They also have adult and teen, and I don't know how much they have like little kid graphic novels, but they have a lot of great middle grade novels. So the book that I'm going to talk about, I'm going to read the description because I read it way back in March as a preview copy. So I've been waiting to talk about it when people could actually get their hands on it because it just came out November 1st. And it's a really sweet sort of fantastical adventure story that was really sweet and creative and interesting. Like the world was just really fun. There's lots of interesting creatures, and I think people would really like it. But I'm going to read the description just because it's not super fresh in my mind. It's been a while. It's called The Wondrous Wonders. It's by Camille Jordi. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing their name correctly, but Camille Jordi. And here's the description. With irresistible wit and brilliant strokes of watercolor, Camille Jordi brings this dreamlike fable to life. Wondrous Wonders is a tale of pure magic for children and adults alike. Hurt by her parents' divorce and struggling to accept her new stepfamily, she decides to run away and live alone in the woods. They didn't say who she was yet, but she soon discovers that she's far from alone. Joe stumbles into a fantastical world full of tiny elves, talking foxes, and mischievous multicolored ponies known as the Wondrous Wonders. Her new friends are on a mission, rise up against Emperor Tomcat, the tyrannical leader who rules the enchanted forest they call home. Can Joe find the courage to vanquish an evil empire and get back to her family before dinner time? You have to read to find out. But yeah, so I read this back in March and I thought it was really fun. I look forward to seeing it in person because the preview copy I had was a digital copy. It's not the exact same experience as reading a book like live in your hands on paper. So I'm looking forward to checking that out. I think it's a fun little, you know, the stories where you're in like the regular world and you go through like a door or portal or something, and all of a sudden you're in this like totally different space, like Narnia or The Wizard of Oz, those kind of stories, Peter Pan. It's like that, where she's on like, I think they're on a camping trip at the beginning, and then she like wanders off into the woods and sees some tiny little people on these little horses and follows them through like, I think it's a sewer drain, and comes out the other side and is in this totally magical place, goes on a little adventure, and then maybe comes back in time for dinner time. But yeah, I'm going to check it out again, and I think other people would like to as well. I do think this is a good middle grade pick, and I don't remember anything too much for little kids, and I enjoyed it as an adult. So if you're interested in a little fantasy adventure in a new world, check out The Wondrous Wonders by Camille Jordy.
Mm-hmm. That's tied really good.
Yeah, I thought it was really fun, and I feel like there's other stories that are like it in the sense that they have a character going from a like recognizable world to a non-recognizable world, but I haven't seen it as much in comics, I don't think. So I thought that was unique and fun and very colorful. Lots of pretty colors. Yeah, that's my pick for the week.
Awesome.
What did you want to share, Amelia?
I have something that I was waiting to share in October, but then I didn't because I kept reading more of it. And with every like page I read, I was like, I don't know if I should share this yet, but I'm sharing it today because we are all here. It's called Tender is the Flesh by Augustina Basterica. I found it on a most disturbing books iceberg like list, tier list thing. And I was like, well, I need to read that now. It's just obviously challenging me. That's just, if you put a book on a most disturbing tier list, that is a challenge to me personally. So it is, I actually found it in Barnes & Noble. I didn't order it after I saw it on the tier list. I just happened to stumble upon it. And it's one of these books that seems like has been out for a while because the back, instead of a description, is just a bunch of reviews. And usually that only happens when a book has been out for a while. It's the winner of Argentina's Clarín Novela Prize. It is a dystopian novel about a world where all meat has become toxic to humans. So they're forced to eat human meat.
Well, I was going to say go vegan, but, you know, sure.
Yeah, that is a thing you could do, but no, not here. Not here, no. And it's illegal to see the humans that are being eaten. They're referred to as stock. To refer to them as human is a punishable offense, basically. And we follow this man named Marcos who works in one of these meat processing plants. And it's told very, very bluntly, like very nonchalantly it is told. And I kind of like that because there's no over-the-top horror about it. It is just a very casual, this is what I do from day to day. This is the job I do. These are the animals I work with, to the point where you sometimes forget what this book is even about. You have to remind yourself that he's not talking about cows or pigs. He is talking about humans. This is definitely a novel for like adults or older teens, but I wanted to share it because it's really, really, really good so far. I have a feeling it's going to get darker, but it is very good so far. So it's for those who would enjoy that kind of stuff. It's not over the top at all, like I said. For me, books that are disturbing kind of lose their effect if they become overly gross or gory or ridiculous, but this one doesn't do that. And I like it. I was going to share it in October, but I did not because I forgot to share it in October.
It's okay. You can extend the spooky season book suggestions.
Yeah. Also, Fatia was here and I figured maybe I shouldn't.
Don't terrify Fatia.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just going to say, if it ever comes to a point where you can't eat meat, lentils, nuts,
yeah,
beans, tempeh, tofu, there's lots of options for getting your protein. Just saying.
Like Emily.
Like me? You can eat me?
Yeah. You're a good source of protein.
Oh, yeah. Are you vegan?
My stock?
You're not. Are you vegan?
I thought she was saying that you could eat me.
Yeah.
I was wondering. I couldn't be vegan. I like cheese too much.
I like
vegetarian, maybe. Maybe vegetarian.
No, I would never be able to be vegetarian. I like pork way too much. Pork is my favorite food. Pork is just so good. I mean, you got bacon. Like, I have not met a piece of pork that I have not liked. Seriously. I'll eat anything pork.
You need to try like carbonara or something, but like the real carbonara that comes from Italy, because real carbonara is made from like the meat from the jowl of the pig, but it's supposed to taste really good.
Apparently. Wait, like spaghetti carbonara?
Yeah, spaghetti carbonara.
Bleh, I hate that.
You gotta try the real stuff. The Americanized stuff isn't as good.
Okay, I'll try. Yeah. Also,
as long as you don't
I sort of have my own form of like vegetarian, but not really. I don't eat any baby animals, like no veal or.
I have tried lamb before.
I have too, but I have several times because my mom like makes lamb for dinner and she's like, and I keep telling her like I don't even like lamb anyways, so.
It's a weird taste.
I don't like it, but
it's expensive, and but I've never gotten.
Yeah. My mom will guilt me, and like also my sister is really picky, and I'm the kid that'll eat like almost anything she gives, but my sister is so picky, so I usually just guiltily eat it, and then I guiltily try it, and then that's it.
I've never gotten the opportunity to try veal.
I never have. Well, I've got the opportunity, but I did not take it up. I do not want to try veal at all.
I'm sorry, if you could just hear my cat meowing, she's here.
She has arrived. What's all this talk of pork and veal and lamb? Sounds delicious.
There she is. Oh, the radio people cannot.
She's adorable.
This is my cat. That's Patchy.
Oh.
Patches is on the radio, but not because she's not very chatty right now.
She made her appearance.
Oh. I have a cat too. She's downstairs sleeping in the sun. She's in my living room, sleepy in the sun, so I would get her, but I don't want to disturb her slumber.
Yeah, Patchy's a lazy girl, too. Patchy, what books are you going to talk about this week?
She's like, I just chew them. I don't read them.
Oh, luckily she... Yeah, luckily she does not chew the books. She's so cute. Yeah. She's leaving now. She said goodbye.
We've definitely had some people that have brought books back and been like, I'm so sorry, my dog or cat, whichever, attacked the book.
Yeah,
I'd be like a page sliced
up. The most Patches will do is she'll go into our computer room. She likes to scratch her cheek against like the edges of the book stacks we have.
Oh,
because cats have scent glands there. So that's how they like mark stuff. That's why they like being scratched there so much.
That actually makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, they have them in their paws too, which is why Patchy is declawed, her front claws anyway. So she'll rub her paws on the couch, but she won't actually claw them. There are scent glands there too. But yeah, I had a friend
who tried. Ooh, I would not want to be a cat. Because then that would mean that we'd just have to smell the inside of our shoe all day. or the floor you don't we're wear stepping shoes. On. Like dog poop or something.
Yeah, it's good incentive not to step on dog poop.
Yeah.
Yeah. And not to wear shoes.
Yep.
And not to not wear shoes. The incentive to just never get out of bed all day and only get out of bed to take a nice clean shower.
We're almost out of time for today, but did anyone have anything else they wanted to share before we go? Anything they're excited for, or anticipating, enjoying?
This is a little thing, but I'm getting new glasses.
Cool.
With an updated prescription. And I'm excited.
Nice. Yeah, it's good to be able to see properly.
Yeah, definitely.
Very helpful.
I personally am already excited for the winter walk this year.
Oh, me too. Oh,
that's nice.
I really enjoy it.
Winter walk's great.
Winter walk is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, though, it wasn't the best for my sister because she ate a whole bag of caramel corn, then Burger King, then she went home and threw up all night.
Oh, no.
Lovely.
Hopefully, my family will be going back this year. Hopefully, I can convince them, but there may be a chance that they won't let me. I'm so sad. But hopefully.
I miss the macaron shop they used to have there.
What do you mean?
They used to have macaroons. There was a shop that sold macaroons on Warren.
You mean Patisserie Legs?
No, it's not there anymore.
They closed?
I think so. I think the shop that sold the macaroons. It's not there anymore.
Patisserie Lennox closed?
Maybe. I don't remember what it was called.
No!
Oh, yeah, they did. Oh, I just knew it as the shop with the macaroons. I didn't know it had a name.
They did?
Yeah, they closed a while ago.
So sad. Yeah,
I was very... But there are other delicious things at the winter walk. So.
Also, I hit the jackpot because guess what? Patisserie Legs is originally in Lennox.
In Lennox.
Legs is 10 minutes from me. And they have one in Great Barrington, which is like 50 minutes from me. So I got two in my area. So nice. I'm just sad for Hudson residents and for myself because that place has a lot of nostalgia, but still, I can still go there.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I feel like the Patisserie Legs macaroons are better over here than the ones in Hudson for some reason. Ooh. I don't know why. They just like taste fresher.
Those are fighting words. Emily, what are you looking forward to? We haven't heard from you yet.
Yeah. What am I looking forward to? I'm sure there's something. What is happening this month? It's like I'm still in October. Even
Thanksgiving!
I do love Thanksgiving.
Me too.
Mom, that'll be nice. Thanksgiving's great. It is American Indian Heritage Month, and I read some American Indian authors' work every November. So that's always fun. That's something I'm looking forward to. Trying to remember what programs we have going on this month at the library. And we have a history talk on Harry Hudson.
Harry Hudson?
Yeah.
Who's Harry Hudson? I know who Henry Hudson is, but who's Harry Hudson?
Oh, sorry. Did I say Harry Hudson?
Yeah.
I meant Harry Howard. Sorry. So this event is in collaboration with the library, the Fastney Museum of Firefighting, which is a great museum, and the Greenport Historical Society. And so there's going to be a lecture on an exhibit that the Fastney Museum has celebrating the 200th birthday of Harry Howard, chief of the New York City Volunteer Fire Department. He was chief of the fire department from 1857 to 1860. And since Fastney is focused on the history of firefighting and, you know, there's the Volunteer Firefighters Home here in Hudson. And of course, Harry Howard is named after this chief. They're going to give a presentation about the exhibit. And so it's going to talk about his life and accomplishments and how it relates to Hudson, and should be very interesting. I don't really know that history. And there's later this month, like mid-month, there's going to be a night sky hike at Greenport Conservation Area, which sounds really fun. I haven't been able to go on any of their night sky hike. They do them occasionally at different conservation areas, and they always seem really fun, but they've just always not worked out timeline wise with me. So I'm hoping to get to this one.
That's really fun.
Yeah. And I'm excited to talk with you all more on the radio. Always excited for that. But yeah, we are out of